just inside the front of the door. It's the booklet, What is the Christian Faith? Now, in it, Charlie says, and a quote, and I've looked it very carefully, so I got it right, Charlie. All right. The Christian faith is encounter, meeting with God. The gospel stories of Jesus tell about so many people who met with God in Jesus and how he established relationships with them. Now, the woman in our gospel reading with a persistent bleeding met Jesus. She was unclean by the thinking of the day and therefore shunned, but she believed that if she could, in the crowd, just touch the hem of his cloak, she would be healed. It sounds almost like superstition to us these days, doesn't it? If you think about it. But Jesus asks, who touched me? She owns up, fear and trembling. And he doesn't reject her, but says, your faith has saved you. Now, it was a very inadequate faith, we would say. But he welcomed it, he affirmed it, and despite the crowds, had only time for her as he spoke to her. And it changed her life. Well, at that moment, it certainly changed her life. She was healed, however you want to put it. And what about Zacchaeus, who climbed the tree, it says, just to see who Jesus was? I'm sure it wasn't in his script for Jesus to stop, look up, call him down by name, and invite himself to tea. And that meeting changed Zacchaeus' life. Another person called out of the crowd. And he comes out from having tea with Jesus to be considerably more forthcoming than MPs about expenses and fiddling. He could legitimately have said it's part of the system, you know, to fiddle the Jews, to line the Romans' pockets and my own, but he doesn't. He promises to repay everybody, and if he's cheated anyone, he says, I'll repay them fourfold. That was going to make a big impact on his life, on his material wealth, you imagine. Two unlikely people, in the words of what's at the end of our service booklet, grabbed and enticed, who were found. It does seem, doesn't it, that God really does welcome everybody. And the change, the initial change, and his patient love go on. We don't know how these two fared in the future, the woman and Zacchaeus. I mean, was Zacchaeus, did they believe what he said? Were they as deeply cynical about him as we feel they might have been? But we can trace a process, you know, in the life of a man whose big day is tomorrow. St. Peter. Tomorrow is St. Peter's Day. His actual call is not really dwelt on in the Gospels. I guess how the relationship begins isn't that important. Just that it comes to exist. Rather like love, I imagine. But what we see in Peter is a man who keeps getting it wrong. Who talks the talk very confidently, but certainly rarely, when it comes to the important moments, can walk the walk. In the boat, he sees Jesus out on the water. He says, Lord, if you call me to come, I'll come. Jesus calls him and gets out the boat, sees the waves, begins to sink. Big words, but not followed up. Eyes really not for Jesus, but for the threats, the waves. At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? That's a good point for debate. It's quite safe. Then he says, but who do you say that I am? And you can cue a bit of anxious shuffling by the disciples. I mean, they've got to come up with their own answer now. Till Peter blurts out, you are the Messiah. And Jesus says, that's wonderful. You're the rock. But then shortly afterwards, Peter gets it all wrong again when Jesus begins to talk about what the future must bring. He gets it most spectacularly wrong just before Good Friday. Peter states that come what may, he will remain loyal, even if he has to die with Jesus. And he keeps reinforcing it, saying, even if all these others, that's a good way of talking to your friend about your friends, isn't it? If all these others fall away, I won't. Jesus suggests that it's not going to be like that, but Peter is so sure. We know what the reality was, a denial that he even knew Jesus. Considering he'd been with him for 3 years, that's a bit rich, isn't it? Just to save his own skin. I mean, surely that was it. How many times can you get it so wrong and be given another chance? Rock indeed. That moment, that must have, it would be, you know, a hollow joke if it hadn't been so tragic and so serious. And yet, even then, Jesus doesn't reject Peter, doesn't write him off. Because after the resurrection, the man at the empty tomb says, "Tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus is going ahead of them into Galilee." He's still included. And if you read the rest of the story, there is restoration. And after Pentecost, Peter does really become the rock, a leader and ultimately a martyr. Not to say that everything was sweetness and light. And his learning still went on. And he fell out with Paul and they went different ways. But he became the man who Jesus saw it in him to become. It's a bit of a saga of a relationship that really does see God in Jesus running after him and drawing Peter to himself. So how about us? What is our experience? I imagine it will be as varied as the numbers here today, because we're all different. For some, perhaps, a definite and dramatic start, like Zacchaeus or the woman. Like David, the most disruptive boy in the Sunday school class I was in the 1950s. He was also a bully. He was bigger and older than me. That wasn't difficult in those days. He'd driven two Sunday school teachers away by his disruptive behaviour. But one day, a new teacher, who happened to be my brother, I think they put him in charge of the class out of sheer desperation. My brother was keen and they thought he might be able to cope. But he talked about Jesus knocking at the door. And then he asked if we wanted to open the door of our lives to him. Very simple. Four of us put our hands up. Three of us, you would have expected, because we were good little boys, the sort of thing you might do. And I'm not sure it made a dramatic difference, but David put his hand up as well. And he was transformed completely. And I'm not making this up. It was very marked. The bullying stopped. And the disruption in the Sunday school class stopped instantly. He became deeply involved in the church. This was a church in Birmingham. Later in the Baptist church in Bromsgrove. And after 1990, he became a Baptist minister till he retired 2 years ago. He met Jesus dramatically in a Sunday school class and God went on working in his life progressively in a sort of continuing and growing relationship. Quite dramatic. The most dramatic and the only almost really dramatic change I've encountered. And it was true. For most people, though, I suspect the process has a gradual start. A bit up and down as well. As we're drawn towards faith. Through worship. Through meeting and getting to know other Christians. There are people who can't remember a day when they didn't love God and didn't come to worship. And it's real and firm and sure. But of course, what really matters for us, I suspect, even more than our past experience of God, though that is immensely valuable to draw on for strength and for guidance as a rock when life can get a bit wrong. But even more important than that, of course, is the present and the future. We can't rerun our lives like you can a video, or presumably you can a DVD, though I haven't ventured into that technology. But you can't do it, can you? And we look back on our lives and there are things we're glad about and things we regret. And you can all get muddled up, but you can't live them again. But the present and the future, we can. And even if our past has been very checkered, like Peter's life was, whatever our understanding, and however weak and hesitant our faith, like the woman with the hemorrhage, God reaches out, he calls us, and he finds us. It says at the end of the service booklet that we're using today, it says, "You have been found. This is the good news." We have been found. It means we can from today continue or begin even a relationship with God in Jesus that can redirect our lives. As we discover what the writer of Lamentations wrote 2,000 years before Jesus came, these amazing words: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So great is his faithfulness." In our next hymn, which comes in about 30 seconds, we're going to sing the words, "Day by day his voice is sounding, saying, Christian, follow me." I pray that the response from all of us will be a glad yes to the best possible news for all our futures.